This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success. Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. And I have these extraordinary co-hosts today with me here at the Wynn in Las Vegas. But talking about extraordinary, you know, there's Olympic athletes, you know, there's Hall of Fame athletes, and then there's the most decorated athletes in the world. The ones that, as I sat on the Olympic committee and walked into the Olympic Center for the first time in Colorado Springs, there's the Olympic athletes that they put on the wall as you enter the facility. That's who we have here today. One of the greatest athletes ever to skate or participate, the amazing Apollo Ono. Welcome to Office Hours.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Now, as much as you are a decorated athlete and someone that I admire for your athleticism, getting to know you after your career was the bigger pleasure of my life. It's one thing to see you there at the Olympic Center. It's what you're doing off of the ice that amazes me. Your best-selling books, the extraordinary discipline that you display being an entrepreneur that has led you to unbelievable fulfillment, purpose, and the way that you embrace the expansion or change is just uncanny. Looking at your new book, The Hard Pivot, how much does it incorporate those types of capabilities that you use to become one of the most decorated athletes of all times?
Well, first off, those are like really nice things for you to say, Dave. So, you know, I could say many great things about you as well. You've impacted a lot of people's lives. You know, I think, you know, I'm in Miami right now. That's why I'm not with you guys in person. I had an event last night and again, another one today. I literally just got off the stage about an hour ago. And, you know, the themes that I spend a lot of my time concentrating on now, I've got kind of three buckets that I spend most of my time, but one of them, especially as a kind of a corporate facing or company facing or human facing side, which is really about kind of helping people or reminding people of the power they had within, the ability to kind of reinvent, embrace change and uncertainty, and then really just showing up fully as the best version of themselves. There's a ton of people out there who speak much better than I, who have much larger audiences. But you know, for me, I feel like I'm doing my part to take a part of what I did in the Olympic world, you know, the accolades and the experience and kind of the grit and the mindset and hopefully transforming that into things that people can take away from a tangible value perspective. And so the book Hard Pivot was really, it was an effort for me to say, let's level the playing field, talk about the space between our ears, which that conversation that we have within ourselves can either be really paralyzing or deeply motivating in some capacity, whether you're operating out of a fear of failure, whether you're just really hungry and goal-driven. But I think, make no mistake, there's still this kind of human element that we all go through. And it's my dream to just get people to just realize their own inner power and just keep on moving forward. So a large part of the book is about that, man. And I've been very blessed to be able to communicate that to folks. And hopefully they resonate with some of the messaging that we talk about.
I'm sure they do. And speaking of inner power, Dr. Lacey's book brings that inner power and the best of it out of people every single day. So pleased to be able to introduce you, Apollo, to Dr. Lacey Book.
Apollo, this is definitely one of my favorite topics to talk about, is the space between our ears. You know, it is the most valuable real estate that we have. And I'm curious, because you wrote this book, Hard Pivot, but previous to that, you also wrote a book called No Regrets. And I find that it's really difficult for people to make pivots in life when they're carrying around the energetic load of everything in their past and bringing it forward into the future. How do you blend those two things and help people understand that you need to release that regret in order to make the necessary pivots in life?
Yeah, I mean, this is a topic that I think many people have spoken about. So, you know, the baggage that you carry, the traumas, micro traumas, the experiences that you go through in life, the previous identities that you've had in maybe another startup, another business, another job, career, even relationship wise, or perhaps how you thought about yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, all this stuff are things that I can resonate with. And when you ask me the question, you know, what do I do to kind of rid myself of that baggage, or what I like to say, removing the brick from the brake, right? A lot of us believe that we have to kind of redesign this whole engine that we have, when the engine's actually working very well. We've just had the foot on the gas and the foot on the brake at the same time. And that obviously is not very efficient and effective in terms of making progress in our life. You know, just give you one context, right? Like when I had retired from my first identity, which was really the Olympic athlete, the person who's performing, athlete, et cetera. And I started to venture out into a space where I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about decision-making, about surrounding myself with the right people. I didn't have a lot of mentorship in that world. Or maybe I did, I just didn't seek it out properly. It was really scary, right? I had to kind of divorce myself from this previous identity while also trying to glean from that previous self all the amazing attributes and accolades that were kind of goal-driven. They weren't title-driven. They were goal-driven around hard work and discipline, learning how to be adaptable, right? Getting back up after you fail. All these things that we know are and make up really great entrepreneurs and people in general. I had to embrace those aspects. And so to me, it was a lot about vocabulary, right? It was the way and the words that I communicated to myself. How did I talk to myself? What did I think about my own self when I looked in the mirror? And some of the stuff was pretty rough, right? In sport, I used my deep sense of fear of failure as a primary motivator. And while I do that in similar aspects in my own businesses today, there had to be a surrendering to the outcome and a realization. And I think a lot of folks perhaps struggle with this, right? It's really tough to kind of start out and do something when, like you said, you're carrying this load with you. So, you know, I work with this professor out of Columbia Business School, and we talk a lot about kind of trying to hone in on this inner mastery for outer impact. Now, not all business folks believe in some of this stuff. And it's not my intention to try to convince everyone, but I have a firm belief that, like you said, this thing is so powerful. I mean, it is so unbelievable. And I've got so many instances and examples of my personal life and friends and family around me where this has been the primary change. It wasn't your education. It wasn't your background. It wasn't any of those things. It was this thing. And I just want people to realize, right? And sometimes it doesn't matter how much I talk to them, they have to first experience it for themselves. And it's almost like magic, right? You think about something, you visualize it, you do the work, and all of a sudden these things start happening for you in your life and they start clicking. And before you know it, you lift your head up after doing these deep bouts of work and you realize how much progress you've actually made. And that is primarily because you're not focusing in then on the stuff that you can't control, the experiences perhaps that you thought were so paralyzing, they prompted you to create inaction versus action. And, you know, life is not supposed to be easy in any possible perspective, and I don't think it is, but your perception of those challenges is a big part of how you typically react to them. And it doesn't happen overnight, right? So just like in speed skating or just like in the Olympic space, you know, these athletes are training for thousands of hours. And it is only because they've done this sense of work or mastery that the secondary nature to react to these things that normally other people would either crumble under the pressure or not be able to perform, they do so with ease and with grace. And so I think that's the state that we'd really want to be in. A lot of the inner work obviously helps, but I don't think it's a prerequisite either, right? I mean, I think it's really important for people to start to do that deeper work because, you know, if you've got these financial goals that you're setting for yourself, you've got these big audacious things in front of you that you want to kind of blow past. And if that's the only metric for your own happiness, I think you'll reach that state and realize it's just as empty as it was before. You've just got more resources now they didn't have. So it's different for everybody. I just know from a personal experience, it's always better where, you know, you're purpose-driven, you're goal-driven, you're using the emotional states of whatever happened previously in your other life or your previous, you know, years that you've lived and use them to your advantage, right? They either can be really crumbling and devastating and they can, like I said, cripple you from moving forward, or they can be really powerful motivators and tools. So your perception of these things is, I think, a really important part, and the intentionality going into every engagement, event, business, whatever it might be is a big part of that.
Interesting, because, you know, Andre is gonna speak next, but these 6 inches are so important on the ice as well as in football. But there's one thing that I had that would have helped Apollo. Yeah, he had, I believe, 2 silver medals as well, besides all the golds. If he had this extra 2 inches that I have, I think he would have had 4 golds and got rid of those. So there is a couple
whole
inches.
Another level.
Didn't help me on the football field at all, but if I was a speed skater, I think it would have absolutely been the extra 0.001 seconds that it takes to win the gold in speed skating. Speaking of gold medalists, we have our NFL retired superstar and friend who is mastering the mindset. And I heard a lot of parallels from Apollo, the things that you speak about as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Apollo, so former NFL player here. So athlete to athlete, we get to talk as homeboys right now. And I'm excited about that.
Nice.
So, you know, playing NFL, and you understand this as well. You always talk about reinventing yourself, especially as an athlete. And I think about it like I was four people in one. Okay, so at first, I'm Andre. That's who I was born. And then I became Flu. All right, so Flu is a nickname. Actually, Flu was created on the football field. But then number 96. Number 96 is actually owned by the Detroit Lions and Florida State Seminoles. Like they own number 96. And then Flu Ellen. And Flu Ellen was the guy that had to please the coaches that was trying to make the team. So I'm four guys in one. And then when I'm done playing, I got to try to figure out who I am. And so I just ask you the most simple but most complex question of all time. Who is Apollo right now?
And I love the way that you described all four of those personalities and people and identities. You know, I would say that I'm all of those things. So if I was going to replicate that, I was all of those things, right? I was Apollo Ono who was born. I was Apollo Ono the Olympian, Apollo Ono, you know, the young kid. And I'm now 41 years old, but everything I do today still somehow is seeking to get the approval and affirmation and positive reinforcement from my dad, the person who I seek the most love from, right? It's so funny. I was like, oh, I'm 41 years old. I'm still doing stuff. I'm waiting for my dad to give me like the tap on the head, like you're doing good, son. You know, you can stand on your own two feet. So I think that I'm all of those things. The one thing that has really helped me as we talk about reinvention is, you know, I think when you have so much subscription to something that the world tells you of who you are, it's a really powerful thing. I think the one side is that it doesn't allow you to see the other side of your curiosities and your exploratory component that I think is really important in terms of making that full wholesome circle around what are the things that you really enjoy. What are the things that you feel like are naturally talented at? What are your strengths and what do you want to pursue? So I've probably gone through several phases, right, of who I am. You know, I'm obviously the athlete. I'm obviously someone who believes in the personal development or the inspiration of others. I'm a businessman. I want to give back to my communities. I want to be a great friend. I want to be a great partner. I want to be a family man. So some of these things I'm not yet. I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I don't have a wife yet. Right. So for me, these are things that I'm now, as I'm growing, I want these things. And so my focus and shift is I don't want to be the fastest skater on the ice. I don't really care anymore. Like it doesn't feel like it's a valuable thing for me to go strap my skates on and go out there and skate with this like skin tight outfit or go and do Dancing with the Stars. My value systems are different, you know? And so I really, really think about time in a very different perspective than I did just 10 years ago. And we really do have such a limited amount of it. And we, all of us, like we waste a lot of that time, right? The 86,400 seconds that we are given each day. So I love talking about this topic because I think many people will go through many different reinventions. And not just reinventions by choice, right? Not saying like, all right, we did well this year. We got to reinvent. Let's re-up for next year. Let's go, you know, 5X, 10X what we did this year. I think sometimes life just throws you stuff, right? You have a financial disaster. You have a loved one that you lost. You have a relationship that's been shattered and broken. Your heart gets shattered. You lose hope. Maybe you fall into a depression. There's all this stuff that just literally could happen to you. And it's not like you're waiting for these things, right, in this cautionary tale. But I think that's the reality is stuff will happen and they will pull the rug underneath you. And you're going to be left wondering what the hell just happened and who am I? And now I needed to do this hard pivot. And that's really what the book is all about, is saying, like, how do we identify with specific elements of our, in Japanese culture, I'm half Japanese, we call it ikigai, the thing in the middle, this Venn diagram, right? You've got these circles, right, that are all around. One is like your vocation or the professional aspect of what the world will pay you for, what you're really good at, what you think the world needs, your curiosity and interests. And the circle in the middle that overlaps all of those other rings is your ikigai. It's your reason for living. It's your life. It's you could be your kids. It could be your personal goals. It could be your faith. It could be many things. And I think the more in tune we can get with that, the longer term that we start thinking in terms of our goals, which allows us to really catalyze how we treat our time today. So, you know, life is short, but it's also not all about work. I mean, I personally, I love to work. It's a part of my enjoyment. But it's also really about, like, you know, I'm not saying like everyone has to go out there and try to make an impact, right? I'm very realistic, but I do think it's important for us to kind of, especially in at the end of every year or the beginning of every year, have like a reflective component, just to look back on, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, and why, right? What did I think was going to go well and what really actually happened? And all these things are the component of when I look back and say, like, well, who am I? Who was I at the beginning of the year? And who did I end up as? Did I fall back into the same behaviors and patterns, right? You know, as you said before, doctor, she said that it's really hard to change. And that's because human behavior is really hard to change, right? Like January 1st, New Year's resolutions, they never work. And why? Well, 80% don't work. But like, why don't they work? And that's because it's really tough. You forget about them. Life slaps you up and, you know, slaps you in the face and reminds you that perhaps sometimes you're not in control. So I just like, how do we like reset, right? How do we reset, recenter, and get back to the basics of like, what's the stuff that's really important? What are the things that really matter right now? Because it's easy. We live in a world that is like, you know, distractions on steroids all over the place. And, you know, my voice in my ear talking athlete to athlete is always, not always, it's kind of getting better, but it was, you know, hey, Apollo, come back over to this, the Olympic world, come to the speed skating world, right? Come be a coach or come do this. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but that was the voice that I needed to quiet because I needed to really find myself outside of the world that I knew so well. Like I knew speed skating, I knew the Olympic space, like the back of my hand. And it was time for me to grow, and growing meant going into the unknown and doing stuff that I didn't know what to do. I felt really stupid in front of a lot of people. And that's how we grow, right? We grow because you're forcing the stress. The body's saying, well, I don't want to feel that again, so I better get my act in gear and do something about this. And so, you know, my identity's changed many times. The importance of how I spend my time is different every time. But the person who I am is still all the things I was in the past. I just place more emphasis on the person who I continuously want to show up to the world as. And that's someone who I think is a little bit more well-rounded than it was only just as an athlete.
It's scary being an Olympian or a professional football player, try being a serial entrepreneur like Kayla Wright. This girl wakes up every day to care. I know by our similar aspect of our own love for being entrepreneurs. Kayla, meet Apollo Ono.
Hi, Apollo. How are you? I'm Kayla Shuri.
I'm doing good.
I'm with the Blueprint University, the CEO and founder. And one thing I aspire about talking to athletes is I've never been an athlete, but growing up, you know, doing sports and things of that, one thing I do admire about athletes is the discipline that you all have. It instills a lot of that. And I think being a part, like running track for so many years, it instilled that discipline in me. So with you, I know you've pivoted a lot throughout your whole journey from athlete to writing books, and it's a huge pivot. So with that, do you feel that resilience is something that you're born with or something that is automatically instilled in you that you?
Yeah, that's another good question. You know, I think that if you had asked me this, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would have had a different answer. I think today when I think about like resilience, resolve, grit, these things are, I think they're categorically defined first by doing the work. So what I mean by that is like resiliency, yes, are some people built and they're just like tough people? I mean, I think we all know people who are like that. They're kind of built out of granite. Nothing seemed to take them down. But I think a majority of us, it takes experiences and it takes the scars. It takes like the calloused, right? So you callous your hands when you lift weights. Your body develops muscles to, you know, respond to lifting weights. And the same thing, I think, with your mind. So the resilience is really... what resilience really is you're actually proving to yourself that as a serial entrepreneur, if you fail and you fail over and over and over again, you have to pivot, you have to learn, you have to get back up fast, you have to learn how to fail fast and then reinvent again. That's resilience, right? But all that is just proof and evidence to yourself subconsciously that you can do the really hard stuff for long durations of time without receiving some kind of a reward, like a carrot at the end of your long journey. And those who do it well are able to do those things without receiving the accolades, without receiving the rewards. So I think Olympic athletes particularly, because we really only get the limelight once every 4 years, they're very accustomed to doing something for a long time without receiving certain types of feedback. Now, on the contrary, Olympic athletes also, the feedback we get every single day is these little micro affirmations. The coach tells you that was a good lap, right? Your strength coach can see progress in the weight room. Your teammates are telling you that you're getting faster, that you showed up in better shape. You're learning your routines, but whatever they might be. And then when you go into the entrepreneurial world or when you go into the business world, sometimes you're actually not getting a lot of feedback. You can be 12 months or 24 months into a business, not profitable and unsure if you actually will. So that's where the resilience comes in. And I think that, yes, the sport really helped me, but I would say more so less in terms of being born with those types of things. I think today that the biggest and the lowest hanging fruit for people is to do two things. Number one, remind yourself that the work has always been the shortcut, because a lot of people just aren't doing the work. Right? We all want the result, but people just, they're just all expecting things to happen faster. And that's how the social construct of all of these different devices around us are teaching our brains chemically to respond to really fast reactions and chemical responses. So we want the reaction right away. We want the dopamine hit right away. And so if you're willing to do the work without getting those responses, you're already getting an edge up. And the second part is really just providing yourself by doing that work consistently, making it the main thing always. What you're doing to your brain is you're really kind of telling yourself that these things are actually attainable and I can do the really hard stuff, which is a really, really important part of any type of entrepreneurial endeavor. Every single person, you know, Dave's included in this, but everyone that I know who has done something consistently and done it well is willing to kind of go in these like tunnel-like atmospheres and just get the work done. Even when others say it's impossible, even when even your family members are telling you perhaps that this is not a good business, you somehow stick with it and you keep grinding. And a lot of that comes with discipline and sacrifice. And so, yes, you probably won't get to do the thing. You won't get to go on the trip. But that's a question about yourself. And so just, you know, putting this on a map in terms of a time scale, are you willing to do what it takes for the next year, the next 2 years, the next 3 years without receiving the result that you want? And it's a difficult task to have because we all want to see results in the first month, in the first 6 months, in the first 12 months. And everyone that I've ever seen who has created like something really special in terms of growth or business or whatever it might be, has been able to think about those things a little bit differently. Yeah.
It's interesting because every great athlete and great business person understands consistency. It's a common thread of being successful, of being consistent in the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum. But very few people can articulate this idea of outcomes. And one of the things that I help to empower people, and one of the things I've learned from Apollo, is that we as human beings just don't have a capability of understanding or knowing outcomes when they occur. That it takes linear time in order to reveal the protection and promotion that is inherent within the outcome. And so without someone telling us what the outcome means, because they've seen it before, like, hey, you're faster, or you look like you're in better shape, or hey, that was a really good workout or a good play. Without that, we have to have a faith that we're just as human beings incapable of understanding or knowing an outcome. Therefore, we do know one thing: good behavior creates good progress. So as long as I'm consistent with my good behavior, I'm going to receive good progress, which creates good outcomes. And that's what I think of when I think of your book, when I think of your golden principles, and when I think of what it takes to live in the empty mile, the incredible entrepreneur, and by the way, Olympic champion, Paulo Ono, thanks for joining us on Office Hours.
Thanks, guys.
Great job, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're amazing. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. Hope I see you soon, Dave.
I owe you a hug. Thank you. Take care.